Hey, real quick, I know you guys do a lot of sitting and a lot of listening. Let's just take a minute or two. I want to hear back from you guys. Give me a characteristic of God that you've seen displayed this weekend that has really ministered to your heart. Just call it out.
Kindness.
Kindness. Beautiful.
Service.
Service.
Patient.
Patient.
Present.
Present.
Protector. Joy.
Protector.
Joy.
Joy.
Mercy.
Mercy.
Loving.
Loving.
Steadfast.
Steadfast. Very good.
Wisdom.
Yeah, he's good to us, isn't he? And he is always faithful. And that's really the heartbeat of where we're going to go with this last session. Jason did a good job this afternoon laying out social anxiety, but then the last session talking about presenting the gospel. And ultimately, when you're thinking about biblical counseling, you definitely want to make sure that someone's safe, right? In one sense, that's the ultimate goal. But what is the other goal of counseling? If the ultimate goal is salvation, and somebody comes in and they're already a believer, or maybe not. Obviously, if they're not, you're gonna hopefully give them the gospel and lead them to the Lord. If they already are a believer, what is the goal of biblical counseling?
Sanctification.
Sanctification. Okay. See that process moved a little further down the road in their life. All right. So what's a shorter word for sanctification?
Maturity.
Growth. Change.
Oh, yes, growth, change. Change is what I'm looking for. What kind of change?
Heart change.
Okay. Very good. Yes, we're looking for heart change. Notice this verse, Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Think about this. If our ultimate goal in doing biblical counseling with someone is heart change, really what we're talking about there, for them to have that heart change, they need to have knowledge and need to know how to apply that knowledge, right? Isn't that wisdom? Where does that begin? The fear of the Lord. Very good. Now, I got a question for you. If the goal of biblical counseling is change, and change is the living out of knowledge and wisdom that turns into life application that moves somebody from point A to point B, and the beginning of that is the fear of the Lord, doesn't it make sense that the fear of the Lord is a pretty big deal, and we ought to know what the fear of the Lord really is all about? And yet, I bet you if we were to open up the classroom right now and ask you guys to give definitions, what is the fear of the Lord? We might hear 100 definitions. Let's see some transparency and honesty in here. When you hear that term, fear of the Lord, even for your own life, what feelings does that evoke? Does that evoke peace and joy? Does that invoke a feeling of uncomfortability? Doubt? Intimidation. Why?
I don't want to cross him.
Okay. All right. I don't want to cross him. Is there anybody in here, when you hear that, intimidation, I don't want to cross him, you're kind of like, I don't want to have that kind of definition of the fear of God. Okay. So when we discuss fear of God as Christians, and that's why this topic is so important. And Don says, intimidation. I don't want to cross God. So Don's somewhere over here. At the far end of this is God is a domineering, egotistical, selfish, judgmental, condemning God, waiting to strike me down if I do anything wrong. Fear of God. Come over here, and somebody might say, you know what? Fear of God to me is just really admiring him and being in awe of what he does. And then you come down here, and the fear of God to me is like that amazing feeling I get when I lay my head down on my soft pillow at night. He's a cuddly teddy bear I like to hang on to. So, and we have people all over the spectrum in regards to what is the fear of God? What is the fear of the Lord? What does the Bible teach? That's really the most important thing. It doesn't matter how we feel about the fear of God. What matters is what does He say about that? And what does God's Word say about the fear of God? When we're talking about that, we're talking about helping counselees begin to change by fearing God. You know, we are certainly not after helping our counselees develop a stronger self-esteem. We're certainly not trying to give them a backpack full of behavior modification tips. Which I will tell you this, if your definition of fear of God is more over here, as a counselor, guess what you're more likely to do? Give them a whole backpack full of behavior modification tips. Why? Because if you're over here, the further you get to the end over here, if you're still walking with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord is very much a duty-driven, legalistic, joyless relationship with God. And if that's where we're at, our counsel is probably going to be more on the legalistic, more on the duty, more on the behavioral modification tools, so to speak. You know, when we talk about fear of God, it's not like the Lord wants us to be ignorant about it. That's one of the things that I love about God, as I fear Him, is that God loves us and doesn't want us to be ignorant of who He is. And so over 50 times in Scripture, the Lord talks about what is the fear of God. Over 50 times. Start in Genesis and go all the way to Revelation, and you'll be able to find that phrase, fear of the Lord, or fear of God. And so He has a lot to say about that. So let's start with a definition of the fear of the Lord. And I think as we look at this definition, I'm going to hope to bring some biblical balance to where we need to be so that we can then take that definition of fear of God and help a counselee grasp a hold of that to be able to really move forward in their faith. So here is the definition. And some of you have mentioned these words already. It's a reverential awe of God's transcendent majesty and holiness that leads to an admiration of His glorious attributes and an amazement of His infinite love. I'll give you time to write that. That's a lot of big words.
You can repeat it again.
I sure will. It's a reverential awe of God's transcendent majesty and holiness that leads to an admiration of His glorious attributes and an amazement of His infinite love. And that's not my definition. That's Jonathan Murray's definition. And I love this verse in Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. Deuteronomy 5:29. And as we look at that definition, you see some words that are bolded there. I'd like for you guys to circle those words because we're going to talk about them. Because what we're going to find is a true biblical definition of the fear of the Lord very much should move us to a place of fear. That definitely is a reverent awe. Okay, and when we look at that and we think about that, what are some examples that we see of reverent awe in the Scriptures? I could give you a bunch of them. I'm going to give you a couple. You guys all know the story of Job, don't you? And Job goes through a tremendous trial. God allows testing in his life. Job has three friends that show up. And for the first little bit, they do the most wonderful job counseling ever. You know why? They didn't say anything. And before we laugh, we could take a lesson from that. Sometimes our best counsel is just to practice the presence.
Yeah.